morning. All right. Well, nice to see a lot of people here this morning. So to kick off announcements, for those of you who are thinking and praying about Mary Nichols, she is doing better, getting well, on the road to recovery. And then we have some guest announcements today. So if Cheryl Strickler can come up, and she has an announcement to make.
I would just like to ask everybody to please think about setting a little bit of time at 6 o'clock on Thursday evenings to join us up here at this church. We have the most awesome half-hour to 45-minute prayer service, praise, love service you could ever ask for. It is awesome. Anybody that could give that little bit of time on a Thursday needs to join us. I feel so refreshed and so fed when I leave here because God is here with us, especially during this time that we've got in the church. Please think about taking that little bit of time and joining us. You're missing a whole lot.
All right, and then there are announcements on the back of your bulletin. There are a few meetings coming up. First meeting that is listed will be the SPRC meeting on Sunday, September 17th, following worship service. That's next Sunday, right after worship. Everyone is strongly urged to attend. Then there will be a leadership Zoom meeting going through the disaffiliation process with voting. That will be in Wesley Hall on Tuesday, the 19th at 6 o'clock. Moving up the calendar to today, we have a birthday potluck. And that will be covering a few months worth of birthdays, correct? We're making up for the summer. So if you have a summer birthday, congratulations, you get a late celebration today. Lots of food, even if you didn't bring a dish to pass, everyone's encouraged to attend for the sake of fellowship and celebrating everyone's birthdays. Also for the month of September, there is a membership class. Be on the lookout for that. Dates and times are still to be determined. If and when we decide to vote for the disaffiliation, if you wish to vote, you must be an active member. And then if you're not sure of your status, you can ask pastor, or you can contact the office and they'll find the person that can let you know what your status is. There will be a grief share group starting this week on Wednesday the 13th at 1 o'clock in Wesley Hall. If you have any questions, contact Karen Downing. And then, for those of you who don't know, it's our kickoff to Sunday school this week with all of our kiddos right up front. So we have a good group. Yeah. They'll be our entertainment for the morning. So, since we're not anywhere closer, we're going to move on to birthdays and anniversaries. This week, we have a good amount of birthdays. September 10th, today, is Claire Thurneau. September 11th is Burt Downing. The 12th, we have Sierra Denkensbring and Sherry Patterson. Then on the 14th, we have Julie Campbell. Any other birthdays that are not on my list? We will ask people to point you out if you're not. All right, let's sing happy birthday to them. Anniversaries. Today is Jeff and Beth Mavis. September 13th is Dan and Porchelle. Wave to the crowd. No, I'm just kidding. And then on the 15th, we have Chris and Tiffany Massey. Did I pronounce that? Let's sing happy anniversary to them. Oh, yes, Linda.
First of all, I know most of you have noticed that I'm not walking with a walker anymore and not even going the cane step. My 2 weeks ago when I was here, I was asking for prayer for when I was having a spinal procedure done on Monday. It worked very well. They were surprised that I had it probably about 9 o'clock on a Monday morning, and I was out of recovery by 11:30, in a room by 12:30, getting dressed by 1, and out the door by 1:30, in my recliner by 3 o'clock that same Monday, and things went very well. I was kind of loopy, I guess, for a day and a half or so from the pain medication, the anesthesia, but really have felt no pain with it at all. So thank you for all the prayers. It's gone on since the middle of January, so much appreciated all the prayers and caring for that. today I have a moment of special privilege I'd like to present. For someone who claimed the world is my parish, John Wesley really didn't get too far beyond the United Kingdom until now. Many of you may not realize, but I have a position on one of the general agencies of the United Methodist Church. There are 11 general agencies. I've been serving on the General Commission of Archives and History on an 8-year, tenured position for 11 years now because of General Conference. General Conference not meeting means many of the general agencies where people for general agencies are elected at General Conference. Without a General Conference, we haven't been able to elect them. And so not only the General Commission of Archives and History, but the other agencies and commissions are still going on with people serving beyond what the Book of Discipline says they can, you know, because they're tenured, but you gotta wait till a position happens. So anyway, you may know that I'm now on my 11th year. Oops, gotta get my picture back here. I'm on my 11th year of an 8-year tenured term, serving on General Commission of Archives and History. One of the things we've really had a pleasure of happening during COVID is our general secretary retired, got to the age where he had to retire, and so we had the privilege of electing a new general secretary. And for the first time, it was not male, it was not clergy. So we have a new general secretary who is a scholar in church history, particularly United Methodist history, and so she's serving. And when I came up here, I had her picture on my iPad, but I guess Kevin can kind of pull it up. Oh, it's up, okay. So that's a picture of Ashley Brogan D, and you can see she's holding J.W., the John Wesley bobblehead. About 20 years ago, it was real, Cokesbury was selling them at annual conferences across the country, and many of us who are geeks into stuff chose to buy one. So I've got my Wesley bobblehead here. This is what they look like. I don't have a flat place here. We'll set them right there. And if you excuse me while I get my page back up then. So this picture shows Ashley with J.W. headed to Rome, Italy, and Valente, Italy, for the European Methodist Historical Convention. Stay tuned for lots of shenanigans, history, lessons, and gelato. So here you see her, it looks like she's getting on the plane or something, and if you look closely to her backpack, you see J.W. sitting there going to Italy along with her on this trip she has. She's attending as being part of the head of General Commission of Archives and History for the United Methodist Church. And there they are. They she's with a group of people in Rome, and they're doing something, but in a gathering where the Pope is out in the square where he gathers periodically, and they're in the group of people who are out there with that. And so she gets the opportunity to present a John Wesley bobblehead to the Pope. And it was interesting because as she gave it to him, he kind of held it and saw, something like Methodist Wesley, but he said it in either Italian or Spanish or whatever. But he recognized who it was right away. Is that the last one or is there one more? So anyway, now there's a John Wesley who's now residing in the Vatican, probably will hit the archives of the Vatican of the Roman Catholic Church. Pardon me? It's amazing. This all happened Monday of last week. So it was so on some of the church sites, people, it's been popping up all along the way, but it's really an amazing opportunity in the fact that even looking at it, the Pope was aware of who J.W. was. So thank you for letting me share this amazing opportunity.
Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. The mission statement of our denomination is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us the morning message. I'm Angela Lasecki, worship leader for this morning. Our acolytes are Olivia and Bristol. So please quiet your minds and prepare your hearts for worship as our acolytes come forward. Please stand for our praise song. It's number 171. There's something about that name. Remain standing for our call to worship, congregation response in the bold print. Sing a new song to God. Dance with laughter and joy. Rejoice with strings and drums. Sing a new song to God.
Ancient of Days, we enter your presence today to remember and to rejoice. We come looking for your steadfast faithfulness and your loving care. May we be a people who seek reconciliation and genuine forgiveness from one another. In remembrance and gratitude for your mercy and your amazing grace, we pray these things. Amen.
Our next hymn is number 261, Lord of the Dance.
Thank you.
singing this morning. Good singing.
All right, kiddos.
It's time.
Look at this crew. This crew of kids brings joy into this building the second they step in. They have been singing, they have been playing games, we had snacks, and we released our balloons outside. If you saw them as you were coming in, they released balloons because they are learning about the joy of and the love of Jesus, and they want to see how far that message will travel. So they send them out, and hopefully we get some letters sent back in. You might actually find some on your cars, and if you did, then we'd love to hear from you as well. So they have been busy this morning. We are so excited to be back. I don't know if you heard them singing out here before the bell. They were singing We Are Fishers of Men, and that is our theme this year. We are going to be fishers of men and disciples of Jesus. So we are so excited to have these kids here, and we are going to have them introduce themselves so you know, because we'd like for you to pray for these kids. Come on up, Sean. We'd love for you guys to pray for these kids and their teachers here and at school and all of their friends and their classmates, that they can know and share the joy of love and of God. So we're going to have them introduce to us, and then they're going to tell us how what grade they're in, because they're all growing up, and I'm sure you can't keep up with them. So what's your name, sweetheart?
My name's Ariana. I'm in fourth grade.
What's your name? Bo. Kindergarten. Cooper. Kindergarten.
Bristol, fifth grade. Carly, third grade.
Who are you? What's your name? What's your name? What's your name?
Ada.
Yeah. Ada. Yeah.
She's in preschool.
Carter, second.
Mallory, third grade.
Easton, fifth grade.
Sean, eighth grade.
Riley, ninth grade.
Adeline, seventh grade.
Kylie, eighth grade.
Olivia, fourth grade.
I don't know about you, but I think these kids are like growing up before our eyes. They start out there, and look at them all. And then we have our teachers, too, because we can't forget them, even though they were brave and came up here. So we have...
I'm Porchelle. I do the 7th through 12th grade Sunday school.
I'm Angela. I fill in wherever I'm needed.
I'm Stephanie, and I also fill in when needed.
I'm Ashley, and I'm also a filler-inner.
Lots of filler. I'm Nana Huber, preschool through second. Abby Bauerman will be also my assistant, along with Miss Ashley.
We also have Grandma Pam. She's hiding in the back. She's our helper, too. And I'm Miss Erin, and I'm in charge of third through sixth grade, and we are all so excited to be your Sunday school team. Without ado, these are your kids. Say your prayers for them. Give them a huge round of applause and a huge welcome. And we can't wait to fill this church with laughter and joy and song. Am I forgetting anything? I know. I'm going to do this. So I'm going to have them sit down. Give them a round of applause. You guys can sit in the front. And then we have something else special that we're going to do. We're just going to clear out the crowd here. One of my jobs and one of my very favorite jobs of this position is I get the honor of helping present our kiddos with their Bibles that this church, your congregation, you gift to them when they are in third grade. We have some other kids because we've had some hit and misses, but we want to make sure every kid in our Sunday school has their very own Bible starting with third grade. That's when we start digging in. So that's what we start in my class, is we start digging in, learning the Bible. And I tell these kiddos, this is your roadmap to life. We have so many questions in life as kids and adults, and they will never always be answered, but we will always have a guide. We will always have the answers from God. We question a lot of things in this world. We question a lot of things in our lives. God never falters. It's here. This is an adventure. This is the greatest love story ever told. This is all the stories that you ever need. This is what I want you to dig into. I'm excited to dig into it with you. I want these Bibles, moms, dads, we are going to highlight them. We are going to mark them. We're going to dog ear them. These are going to be well-loved Bibles. You can have one at home that is your very nice Bible for special and stuff. These ones, the more used they are, the better. I want these things to look a little ragged when we're done with them, okay? So I'm giving them permission right now. Markers, highlighters, sticky notes, anything, okay? You guys can encourage your parents to do the same. All right? So I have our kiddos here. If you can come up and get your Bible, and you can stand up here, and then we'll take a picture of you with your Bibles, okay? Our first one is for Carly. Go ahead and stand here, sweetie. Our second one is for Mallory. Congratulations. And we have Olivia. And Bristol. Congratulations. And Ariana. Congratulations. So these are new ones that are digging in this year with us. So we'll take a picture of them. Can somebody grab them? And welcome them into our Bible toting crew.
Get your change out for noisy offering. The railing. Thank you. Let's give another round of applause for all of our kiddos. Our Old Testament reading is Exodus 12, verses 1 through 14. Yes. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be a year old male without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. May God add his blessings upon the reading of his word.
We're praying for Thumb Elite Athletics this week as our business to be lifted up in prayer. So please remember them all week long in your prayers. Do we have any unspoken needs in the room today? Unspoken prayers. Absolutely. The Lord knows exactly what those are on your heart. And probably many from those that are listening in as well. We know that the Lord sees your hand as well and knows exactly what your heart grows heavy with. And we know that the Lord will attend to each one of those needs. Let us bow for a word of prayer. And the altar is always open if you'd like to use the altar to pray. Gracious Lord, amidst our songs of joy, our hearts are touched by your presence. Lord, we know that there is trouble in our world. There are folks that are sick. There are folks that are in need of food, in need of love, in need of shelter. Lord, and through all of it, we know that you are there. We know that you are there to reconcile us with your love, with your compassion, and to bless us with your presence, that we might be filled with joy and love and hope for each new day, even in the midst of struggles and strife, in the midst of the unknown. Lord, we thank you for speaking to us today, for the joy and the energy of these children that they bring into this sanctuary and into our lives, Lord, the smiles they bring on our faces, the eagerness they have to learn about you and to know you in their hearts and in their lives. Lord, we pray that you will speak to us this day. Speak to us exactly where we are in our lives and where we need, Lord, you to enter in. Each of us probably in a very different way. Lord, help us to seek your face. Help us to soak you into our every fiber of our every being, that we might be encompassed and surrounded and enfolded by nothing but your love. Help us, Lord, to share that love with others, our neighbors, our friends. Help us to be that light in the world that is so desperately lacking. Lord, let us shed your light around every place that we go. Let us be that example. Lord, bless our church. Bless each person that's given of their time to be here and those that are listening in from a distance. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Let it be your words. and let them be strong and clear in our minds. Help us to know your presence in our lives and in our church. We thank you for blessing us this week with New Legacy, the music that was brought into this sanctuary and just flowed through every corner and crevice. Lord, we thank you for speaking to us through those gifts of music. Lord, continue to watch over us. Continue us to keep us in your care, in the center of your will. Let us remember now the prayer that you have taught your disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Thank you, choir. We love our special music in the summer, but we know it's a sure sign of fall, and we just love it when our choir is singing as well. Thank you for all of you that filled in different Sundays for the summer to give them a little break. And now they're back, and we are happy about that as well. Our New Testament reading today is found in the New Testament in Romans chapter 13. If you go down to the 8th verse, we're going to read verse 8 through 14 this morning. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the selfish nature. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, looking around the room, I'm pretty sure most of you did exactly what I did when I got up this morning. I put my clothes on. I put on my clothes with the intention that they were going to be part of me all of this day, that they would go where I go and do what I do. They would cover me and make me presentable to others. That's the purpose of clothes. In the same way, the apostle is saying to us today to put on Christ when you get up in the morning. Make him a part of your life that day. Intend that he go with you everywhere you go, and that he act through you in everything you do. That we would call upon his resources, that we would live our lives in Christ. Now, going even one step further than that, I was told one time many years ago that before they ever stepped out of bed, and I thought it was just a good thing for me to remember, but I forget, and maybe you do too. I was told that before you ever put your foot on the floor, that you should put on the armor of Christ, that you should clothe yourself head to toe with his armor that he instructs us with in Scripture. And while that's a whole lesson for a different day, most of you know that lesson and how we need to armor up. But underneath that armor, we need to have Christ on as well. We need to have Christ on, because it's just too easy to try to do it our own way and do our own thing. But when we have him attached to us, I likened it this morning in KPEC, and some of them were shaking their heads like, I don't know what you're talking about. Have any of you ever been in a three-legged race? Sometimes it's fun and sometimes it's just a lot of hurt. But nevertheless, you know that you and your partner both have your legs in one sack race, and the other leg, it's out of the sack, and you're going on your own. If you have ever been in that sack race and somebody is going in a different direction than you are, it's not good, is it? It's not a good thing. Or if they're tugging, or if you're not in tandem with that person, if you're not working together, united as one, then things don't work out so very well. Usually you're in a heap on the ground. And you're not going to get very far. So I had that visual this morning. I actually didn't think of that until this morning, but I had that visual this morning that when we are working in tandem with Christ in our life, when we've truly put Him on and truly let Him go with us everywhere we plan to go and allow Him to kind of do the steering. Because when we're in that sack with somebody, walking in that with that one united leg, we want to be working together, don't we? We want to be united. If we make Him a part of our life and intend that He go with us wherever we go and that He act through us in everything we do, and call upon His resources and not ours, we truly can live a life in Christ. Those words have forever been made famous by their connection with the conversion of St. Augustine. If you know anything about St. Augustine, Augustine was a young man in the 4th century who lived a wild, carousing life, running around with evil companions, doing everything that they were doing. He forbade himself nothing. He went into anything and everything. And as people still do today, he came to really hate himself for doing the things that he knew he shouldn't be doing. One day he was with his friend in a garden, and he walked up and down bemoaning his inability to change his life. Oh, tomorrow, 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 he would say. How can I free myself from these terrible urges within me that drive me to the things that hurt me? And in his despair, as he walked in the garden, he suddenly heard what he thought was this voice of a child. Perhaps some children were playing in the garden next door, and he thought that's what he was hearing. But nevertheless, the voice said, "Take and read, take and read." He couldn't remember any children's games with words like that, but the words stuck in his mind. He went back to the table and he found lying on it a copy of Paul's letter to the Romans. He flipped it open and these were the words he read. "The words I read to you this morning, let us behave decently as in the daytime. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ," and all of that that goes along with it. Augustine said that at that moment he opened his life, truly opened his life to Christ. He had known about him, but he had never surrendered to him. I don't know, I can relate to that. I was raised in the church my whole life, and maybe you can relate to that too. And then there comes a moment when God speaks a special word to you. Maybe it's through a crisis or a tragedy, or maybe it is just that special holy moment that He has specially for you. I know St. Augustine knew about that moment. I know John Wesley knew about that moment. When his heart was strangely warmed, he'd been doing everything right. He'd been reading the scripture, and he'd been getting up at the crack of dawn, and he'd been in prayer all day long. He'd been doing the things he was intended to do, but until he had that special moment when Christ spoke to him, then he really, truly understood what it meant to have his heart strangely warmed. We have that holy moment, and we talked about holy moments last week, but he had that holy moment where his life was transformed forever
just like St. Augustine. I could probably list a few of those holy moments for you in my life. Maybe you've had more than one where the Lord said, I'm showing you something new today. I'm showing you something different today. Pay attention. Or in this case, read this. I know I was at my Emmaus walk, and I may have told you this story before. I was at my Emmaus walk. I was very scared. I thought the girl that took me was going to stay with me for the weekend. And here she dropped me off and went home. Bless her heart. That's what she was supposed to do. That's not what I thought she was going to do. But I was a little scared. I was a little nervous, and I didn't know what I had signed up for. And it was a weekend retreat. And my first day in this conference room with individual tables with these ladies, probably six or eight ladies around the table that I didn't know, never known before in my life. And I believe through that weekend we had some holy moments. But I kept hearing, and it was the first time that I'd really been away from my kids to the point where I really couldn't just call home. And I was a little nervous about that. I was trying to remember, women, I don't know if you can relate to this. I'm trying to make sure, did I remember to pay all the bills? Did I put enough toilet paper in the bathroom? Did we put enough food in the pantry? Did I get everything covered before I left? Because he's not going to be able to get a hold of me. So all of these things are going around in my mind, and all of a sudden I hear my name. I know I heard my name out in the hallway. I know somebody called my name. And I'm thinking they're going to come in here and tell me this catastrophe has happened at home or that catastrophe has happened. Not that I don't have full confidence in my husband, but you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen when you don't want it to. And I just knew they were going to come in at any moment and take me out and say, you know, you're going to have to go home, or you're going to have to take this phone call, or you're going to have to do something. And it didn't happen. And then I thought for sure I heard my name again a little while later. And, of course, my ears are perked up now because I'm just sure someone's coming in to get me. And nobody came in to get me. But, you know, I can honestly say what that did for me was I started to focus on what I was supposed to be focusing on and forgetting about what was going on at home and all the things I could have, would have, should have done or forgotten or whatever. I finally shut all that away and started focusing on what was happening at our table, what was happening with anybody that was speaking to us. I started really, really listening. And I can honestly say until the last day, and it was time to go home, I really didn't dwell, for too many minutes anyway, on what was happening or what I had forgotten to do at home or any of that. I had to learn to put that in God's hands. I think he was just calling my name to get my attention. Has he ever called your name to get your attention? Now pay attention to what's really happening here. Pay attention to what I want you to hear and what I want you to know. Augustine said that at that very moment, he opened up his life to Christ. He'd known about him, but he never surrendered to him. My life was kind of in a transformation stage. I guess I wouldn't have said that at the time, but it was in a transformation stage at that time where I was sitting in that room hearing my name. And I certainly didn't know what was ahead. I wasn't a minister yet. I certainly didn't know what was ahead. But I think at that moment I learned to put my hand in the Lord's hand and let him steer the wheel. And oh yeah, we always grab the wheel back, don't we? Eventually we try to get it back again, but I think I finally recognized that he was the one in control. And so did Augustine. I think he felt at that moment a healing touch from Christ, cleansing his life, transforming his life, offering to give him something new and different and changed, completely changed in his life, because he was never the same man again by his own words. He went on to become one of the greatest Christians of all time. How many other of those stories are these kids going to find in their new Bibles that are talking about people that have done the same thing? Let's think about Paul for a minute and his road to on the road to Damascus. And he was bent on killing Christians, eradicating them. And his life was transformed in a moment. For some of us, it might take a lifetime to get completely transformed, but for some, it's instantaneous, maybe like his moment, maybe like John Wesley's moment, maybe like Augustine's moment. And there's been others as we read those wonderful, wonderful stories in the Bible that the Lord has given us to show us that he has a way of transforming lives. In KPAC, quite a few years ago, we had what we called Biker Sunday. I've talked to a couple of you about that already. And we had a man, he came from, I think, White Lake. And he had a ministry called the Hymn Ministry. And the Hymn Ministry was all about the Lord, but they did motorcycle rides. And we had him come and do his testimony on a Sunday morning. And I never did get into the sanctuary. I was out by the bell tower where they ring the bell. There were so many people in that church, standing room only. People came from far and wide to hear the testimony of this man that had been released from prison for murder. That's life had completely been transformed. And I know sometimes we have a hard time accepting, you know, that people that have been incarcerated can really do that transformation. They say what needs to be said, but this man was completely and totally transformed. And I believe God unlocked the cell door to let him out for this very reason of this hymn ministry, because people followed him that would have never followed me in ministry, that would have never come in a church door, that would have never felt comfortable entering in where some of us would find ourselves worshiping. But this man was able to speak to them like no other. And he gave the testimony of his life and all of the roads that he had been down, much like St. Augustine. He had done terrible things. I know I've done terrible things. But he did terrible things that he was ashamed of, and that were really harmful to other folks. And his life was transformed completely and totally to do ministry in Christ's world, speaking to men and women that felt the same way as he, not worthy, hopeless. And God entered in and transformed his life completely. And the people's lives that he's changed because of that, I can't even put a number to. I shared a story this morning, a brief story, about a lady that had been connected, not family, but connected to some people that I love very dearly, and she has led a struggling life. Lived on the street, was in jail many times, addicted to drugs. Living the street life, led her own children down the same path. just recently, I'm going to admit to you that I really had some anger issues there because a lot of people I love have been hurt, you know, really hurt by this. In fact, 3 of her 5 children died because of this. And the other 2 are not doing much better. Anyway, she connected with me a couple of months ago, unexpectedly, out of the blue. And part of our conversation was, I know what you must think of me, but I want to tell you that I now have Jesus Christ in my life, and he has changed me completely. And she said, I know words can say one thing, but it's going to be actions that really make the difference. And she said, I believe that he has control of my life now. And through all of that, I have been transformed. I think through that whole thing, that whole story, that could have been an enormous story, but the key point is that the Lord entered in. And when he entered in, it was just like you getting up in the morning and putting your shirt on, putting your clothes on. She has claimed to put on Christ. And when we claim to put on Christ, we give him that power in our life, don't we? We give him that power to be the controlling factor in that 3-legged race that seems so awkward, that race of life, right? Sometimes it's just awkward, isn't it? Sometimes we feel like we're stumbling and ready to fall. Sometimes we feel like there's no hope. And then Jesus shows up. We had a lady stand and give a testimony this morning as well, and it really touched my heart about God providing for members of her family that have been waiting for over a year, and their electricity and was about to be shut off, and their home was about to, they had gotten an eviction notice, and, you know, all of this was going to happen this week. And she checked her account. And money that should have gone in there probably a year and a half ago, all of a sudden, was in her account. God can do anything that God wants to do. Yesterday, I celebrated 15 years from my first cancer diagnosis. You probably have your own testimony. God can do what God wants to do. And he wants to use you this morning. He wants to use you. He wants you to put him on. Put him on you. Armor up. Get ready, because this world is tough. We've got some tough things ahead. We've had some tough things in the past, but here we are, right? I would have never imagined 15 years. Never imagined. The Lord can do what he wants to do. He's in control. Let him use you to bring that love into a neighbor's life, into your church family. Wherever you go, let him use you. Because that's the key. If we don't let him use us, we can say all the words we want to say, but if we don't let him take control and use us, it's futile. The effort is futile. Clothe yourself with Christ today. That's what Jesus Christ is capable of doing. He gives us all the power to love. But if we choose to exercise this power, in the moment that needs it. We can release in the world this radical force that has the power to change every single thing around us. It's going to change our homes. It's going to change our lives, our communities, our nation, our world, our church. Because of a risen Lord that we know personally in our life and goes with us and moves with us, he's available to us to live through us. Let us be Christ's men and women from head to foot, are the words of J.B. Phillips' translation for that very verse. Let us be Christ's men and women from head to foot and give no chance to the flesh to have its fling. Romans 13:14. This is the way we must live, by clothing ourselves in Christ, letting him be the presenter and not us. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for the freedom and the power that you've given us to clothe ourselves with you and no longer worry about gratifying ourselves, but worry about serving you with everything we are and everything we have. And we give thanks for you, Lord. Amen and amen. If we can have our ushers come forward, we'll have our morning offering at this time. Heavenly Father, receive these gifts as offerings of love. Bless them with your grace, that those who receive them may find compassion and hope. In your holiest of names, we pray these things. Amen. Our closing hymn is 185 in your hymn book or on the screen.
Just as God has called us here, God now sends us forth. Let us go with the power of God to love and to serve the world. And let me remind you before we sing Blessed Be the Tie to come down and join us in our fellowship time with this potluck that is down there. And I know there's tons of food, so please join us. Amen. Amen. Join us downstairs.